Awesome. Thank you, Tack. Also, who thinks Tack is handsome too? Awesome. Have a seat, mate. Praise God. Good to see you. Thank you for coming out. And I'm so excited about all that God is doing in our church, but I'm excited about the 21 days of breakthrough that's starting tomorrow. And I was going to start today, but there was just too much temptation. I remember I was at home and Trish just brought out some rice crackers and some French onion dip, and it was all over. So I didn't start today, but I will be starting my fasting tomorrow. On your seat or on the seat next to you is actually our pamphlet on 21 Days of Breakthrough. And I encourage you to take this with you and to keep it nearby. And it has on there different ways that you can fast, but also has all the different prayer meetings that we're having during the week at church at both campuses. And so our encouragement is that everyone would choose a type of fast to do. And so I've been talking to people, and there have been people doing lots of types of fasts. I've had some people saying that they're going to be doing the Daniel fast, which is basically just fruit and veg the whole time. My youngest son, Ifa, said he was fasting fruit and veg. But he actually meant he's not eating any of it. And so there's a Daniel fast. Other people are doing some juice and broth. And so that is just drinking 100% juice, and also making broth. I know at our place, Trish has put on a couple of vats of broth. So basically boiling up the vegetables, and also she's got some bones in there as well, and then throwing all that out and drinking the water. And so we're doing that and also some juice. Other people are doing intermittent fasting, which is not fasting the whole time, but fasting at different times. Some people are fasting, fasting a meal a day, or some people are fasting on the weekends and eating during the week, whatever it is. It's just between you and God. Other people aren't fasting food, but they're fasting other things, social media, or like Fortnite, or something like that, and Facebook. Some people are fasting TV. I'm actually fasting food, but I'm not fasting Foxtel. Some people are also fasting different types of food. So you'll be really blessed to know that Sue Sweeney, for the first time ever, is going to fast coffee. And even last year when she was fasting, she fasted, she did the Daniel fast plus coffee. And so God really spoke to her, and she actually was quite upset about it, but she's come at peace. She's going to be fasting coffee. So that's a big deal, and I actually think the whistle stop of Pimpama is going to go out of business over the next 3 weeks, because how they will survive without Sue going through the drive-thru and getting a coffee there, I've got no idea. So anyway, different types of fast. So we're encouraging everyone to just choose a type of fast, whatever it is, between you and God. We'll be looking at doing this every year, so it's unlikely that everyone will do a full fast every year, but there's something that God might call you to do. And whatever it is, I encourage you to obey God and do that. The second thing is we're encouraging everyone to choose a prayer meeting. So all through the week, we have different prayer meetings at both campuses, and I want to encourage you to just choose a prayer meeting. So if you're fasting, instead of whatever you were doing, whether it be eating or watching TV or something, pray at that time. But come to a corporate prayer meeting as well. I encourage you to do that. And you will know what they are. They're actually going to be in this flyer. And the third thing we're encouraging everyone to do is to bring an offering. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, it says, gives us three breakthrough principles. It says, when you fast, and it also says, when you pray, and it says, when you give. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. And most churches actually have different times when they do both. Most churches actually have a time when they have a breakthrough offering time, and other church, and they also have a time when they do prayer and fasting separately. But I just really felt for us that God speak to me that instead of doing it at two separate times, to actually do it all together at one time. And when you do it all together at one time, it provides a great focus. It's incredible what can happen when you do all of those things at the one time. So whatever that offering is, it's between you and God. We don't actually have a faith target per se, because it's not about how much money we can raise. It's not about that. It's actually about people getting breakthroughs as a result of their giving. So it's between you and God. And so we will, actually have a number of missions that we support, and things such as 100% Hope, and also we support, Surf Life Saving Chaplaincy and that sort of thing. And there's some others that are coming online and that sort of thing. But really, that's not actually our goal for this. That's just where a lot of the money is going to be going. But really, that's not our goal. And in fact, last year, for the first time, we actually more than doubled our missions giving last year. which was absolutely awesome. And so we encourage everybody to participate at the level that is comfortable for you or whatever God's telling you to do. And that is to choose a fast, choose a prayer meeting, and to also bring an offering. So tonight, I'm going to share for a few minutes, and then afterwards what we're going to do is you'll also notice on your seat a couple of other things. One is actually this card. It's a prayer card, and we're going to encourage you to write on the back of it, and anonymously, you don't have to put your name down. We're going to encourage you to write down what you're actually believing for, and so what God has put on your heart now. Now, the reality is when you go on a fast, very often God adds other things onto that list. But there's some things you're believing for right now, so I'm encouraging you to do that, to actually write down what you're believing for. And then at the end of the service, come forward to one of these boards and actually peg it to the board. And so these boards will be taken to all our prayer meetings, and at every prayer meeting we'll have prayer cards as well. And it will be taken to all our prayer meetings, and part of what we're going to do during those prayer meetings is actually pray for individuals' cards and to believe for breakthrough in their lives. So encourage you to do that. And also the other thing to take home and to bring in 3 weeks' time when we finish on the last day when we take up the breakthrough offering, take away this envelope and to pray about what God would have you to give. You can put your, and also, if you want tax deductibility for it, you can do that as well. And so take that away with you, and then on 3 weeks' time at church in the morning and at night, we'll be receiving the breakthrough offering, and I encourage you to consider what God would have you to give in order to receive the breakthrough that he's got for you. But before we do that, I just want to share a thought with you out of Matthew chapter 6, actually, and it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. So I told you before, Jesus actually mentions three principles, but I just want to focus on one of them tonight. And it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, and it says this: "But when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, this is actually taken from Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 6, and this is in a teaching called Sermon on the Mount. So basically, all the people who were following Christ at that time, is basically like a leadership conference, and he was talking to them about keys of the kingdom. And so it wasn't just the 12 disciples, it was more than that. And he looks at them, and he says to them, "But when you fast, your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly." But he's actually talking to his disciples and he says, "When you fast." Now, when I read that, that's a bit of a struggle because I'm half Tongan. And the thing is this, when he says, "When you fast," I'm thinking, well, he ain't talking to me. Thing about Tongans is us Tongans, we like our food. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going to a proper, you know, it was funny growing up in an Australian and a Tongan home. You grow up and there's different cultures. And so you go to an Aussie party, and, you know, they have different criteria for what makes the party successful. You know, it might be the music or it might be the kind of the decor and that sort of thing. But when you go to a Tongan party, there's only one criteria, and that's the food. And it's not even the quality of food. It's the quantity of food, you know what I'm saying? And if you go to a Tongan party, it's a proper party, it's a proper feast if they've got a pig. And I remember at my 21st, actually, I didn't even want a 21st, but my parents put one on for me, so we invited a few cousins around, so 90 people came over. And we had a pig in the middle of it, which was amazing. Now, the thing is, I had some Aussies there who were vegetarians. And so when they saw the pig on the dinner table, it just freaked them out. It was so hilarious. Now, the more prestigious the party, the more pigs you'll have. So my sister, at her 21st, she's a little bit more insecure than me, she had 180 people at it, and she had 8 pigs at the party. So they were actually on trestle tables, and you would go along and you'd hack a piece off and you'd put it on your plate. It was just, you know, it was very full on. Well, my cousin, who's a little bit more insecure than all of us, she had 250 people at her 21st. Now, how many pigs do you reckon you'd need for 250 people, mainly Tongan? I would have thought about, you know, 10 at the max, something like that. Well, she had 22. So seriously, there was 22 pigs. I know for a fact because our side of the family cooked 11. The other side of the family cooked 11. And this was in the days before, you know, workplace health and safety and, you know, food regulations and that sort of thing. So we actually cooked them in the back, in my uncle's backyard. And then we wrapped them in alfoil and then we chucked them in a trailer where they sat till the party that night. And then that night they would bring them out and put them on the tables. And there was so much food and all the food was on paper plates. So there was so much food that all the food overlapped. You could not see the actual table because there was so much food. Every time a plate of food was eaten, it was replaced with some more food, on the table there. And also, you know, in your Aussie party, you know how you end up with your little doggy bags? You know, you finish up and you're at a restaurant, you're at a party, it's like, oh, I wouldn't want a little doggy bag, and you take your little doggy bag. Well, for a Tongan party, that's not the doggy bag, you know what I'm saying? This was the doggy bag for my cousin's party. You know the big black Glad garbage bags? That was actually the doggy bags for my cousin's 21st, you know what I'm saying? And so we all took, and you put everything in it, you know, on paper and plastic plates with some loose alfoil on it and that sort of thing. And, you know, and you put the dessert in there, you put the food in there, and because you're Tongan, you put it in the fridge, you'll still eat it a week later, it doesn't matter, it's still good, right? You know what I'm saying? So when Jesus says, when you fast, he ain't talking to me. You know what I'm saying? Half Tongan, half. I'm thinking he can't be talking to me. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking he's talking to skinny white girls. You know what I'm saying? The kind of girls that come lunchtime, they say to themselves, oh, I forgot to eat today. That has never happened to me. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm thinking he can't be talking to me. But he is. He's actually talking to all the disciples that are following him at that time. And, you know, there's other parts of the scripture where Jesus indicates that fasting is going to be something that actually every single one of us is going to participate in. I feel sorry for poor old Andrew. Andrew is one of Jesus' disciples. Andrew used to be a disciple of John the Baptist. And the Bible says that Andrew left John the Baptist and went to serve Jesus. Now, it was common knowledge that John the Baptist's disciples, they would fast all the time, but Jesus' disciples never fasted. So one day, John the Baptist's disciples came up to Jesus, and I can imagine Andrew standing there with Jesus. He's now on his new team. And the John the Baptist disciples come up to him and say, hey, Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? Can imagine Andrew, used to be with John the Baptist guys, now he's with Jesus, standing behind Jesus, saying, we don't fast. That's why I left you. I left you, because you guys fast. I'm joining Jesus. We don't fast. And Jesus goes, hey, when the bridegroom is here, there's no need to fast. That's right, baby. Bridegroom. Yeah. Bridegroom. Losers. Bridegroom. We don't fast. And then Jesus says, but when the bridegroom goes, then these turkeys will fast. Can you imagine Andrew saying, what? You never told me. It's the whole reason why I joined you. Jesus was saying that when he leaves, when he was there, there's no need to fast. But when he leaves, which is talking about us right now, we are going to fast. If you look at the New Testament church, fasting was part of the Christian life, still under the grace of God, still under the glory of God, still under the new covenant, the New Testament lifestyle, part of it involves some fasting. So it means that every single one of us at some point in our Christian walk, we will do some fasting at some point. But the awesome thing is, Jesus says, he goes, your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. So what that means is it's not a test of spirituality. It's not about trying to prove yourself more holy than somebody else. In fact, Jesus says, you know, why don't you do yourself up, make sure you have a shower, stop complaining, don't let everyone know you're fasting, it's just between you and God, but your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. So that means there's rewards, there's breakthroughs as a result of fasting. And so tonight, I just want to talk to you about a couple of rewards. Last year at the night service, I talked about some rewards of fasting. I won't be recovering them because I know you've memorized all that anyway. But I'll do some other rewards as a result of fasting that happened for us to encourage you, to fill you with faith for this next season, understanding that you're not doing this as a test of spirituality. You're not doing this to try and prove that you love God. We're actually doing this because there's rewards as a result of fasting. And I want to talk to you about a couple of them tonight. The first one is this. The first reward of fasting, one of the things that can happen as you fast is direction. God gives us direction. Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, Acts 13, verse 2, it says that. It's not the Old Testament. It's after Acts 2. So after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had come, after they received the fullness of all God had, they were still fasting. And it says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So as they were fasting, in the midst of it, God spoke to them and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Saul actually became Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, because I'm going to send them out. It was the beginning of their missionary journey, and it all came in the midst of fasting. God gave them direction. One of the things that happens when we fast is very often God will speak to us. He will tell us to do things and he'll give us direction. In fact, there are times when you've got options and you don't know what to do that you can actually spend a bit of time fasting and seeking God, and you'll be amazed at how the right answer comes forward and you actually get direction from it, that clarity comes. Some of you are confused about some things and you don't know what to do. Within a couple of days of fasting, God's going to give you clarity about the direction that he wants you to go and the choices that he wants you to make, because direction is one of the byproducts of actually fasting. Fasting can produce direction. Back in 2000, in our first year of ministry, our church went on a 40-day fast. And so I joined in on it and did a 40-day juice and broth fast. And I would have thought, you know, I remember thinking, man, this is going to make me so spiritual. And I'm just going to, you know, understand the book of Revelation completely after this. But that's not actually what happened. In fact, there wasn't a whole lot that happened in the midst of that fast. However, I remember on one night, the Holy Spirit woke me up and he spoke to me very clearly. And there were three things that he spoke to me about right at that moment. And they were to do with some leadership decisions that I had to make, some directions that had to be for the youth ministry. And also, it was in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I want you to start a youth conference in North Queensland. I was in Mackay, start a youth conference here in North Queensland. A little while later, I actually had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a flyer. And on the flyer, it actually said Extreme Youth Conference on it. So I thought, okay, that's what I'm supposed to call it, Extreme Youth Conference. And we started that conference the next year. Conferences come and go, and conferences, you know, and conferences often, except for the really big ones, often conferences tend not to last. But that Extreme Youth Conference, which we started in 2001, we only had a little youth group of 20 kids at the time. This conference that we started is actually still going today, and this year they're into their 19th year, and they get 600-700 young people from all around central Queensland. It's known as a conference of fire. It's known as a conference of the presence of God. And people say, you know, what was one of the keys to enable that to happen? I reckon one of the reasons was because it was birthed in the middle of a fast. That right in that time, the moment that God spoke, it kind of energized it and it'll kind of release grace and favor upon it, that it would be this continual thing that would continue on. When you fast, I believe for a number of people, God's going to give you direction. He's going to give you ideas. He's going to resolve some confusion and he's going to speak to you, because direction is one of the rewards of fasting. The second thing that can happen as a result of fasting is personal revival. Personal revival. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says this, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So what he's saying is our heart returns to him, how? With fasting, weeping and mourning. He's talking about repentance there. So basically, one of the ways our heart can get refired for God is actually through fasting. The funny thing about fasting when you fast food is this, your body feels bad, but your spirit feels good. And it's kind of like when you're fasting, I'm finding when I'm fasting, I'm just praying the whole time, all the time, nonstop. Like it's just so easy. And it's funny, you know, when we do the prayer meetings, it's so funny because especially the people who've been fasting food, they come into the prayer meeting and everyone kind of drags their way in there and they're not feeling great. As soon as you start praying, boom, it's unbelievable. They just all fire up and that sort of thing. And it's one of the ways to keep the fire hot in their life. When you fast, in fact, in the life of our church last year, this 3 weeks, this 21 days of breakthrough had the same effect on us as if we all went away on a conference or something, because every one of us got fired up again, passionate again, refired, reinvigorated, rejuvenated, ready to go again in the things of God. So when we do have that discipline of fasting, you'll be amazed at how it supercharges and fires up your personal walk with God. I believe for some of you, if you've never actually fasted before, you're going to find this is to be a very big key to accelerating some things in your Christian walk. In my first year of Bible college back in 1997, when I was 12 years of age, I remember God was dealing and delivering me of a whole lot of stuff. I had a whole lot of issues, a whole lot of baggage, a whole lot of junk. And I remember in my first year of Bible college, I went on a season where I was fasting 3 days every fortnight. So doing 3 days of water fasting every fortnight. And it was in that time, God was doing so many incredible things in my life. He was ripping and tearing stuff out of my life that shouldn't be there. My passion and the things of God went to a whole new level. And one of the reasons was because of fasting. Fasting can have the same effect on our spiritual walk as like when we're praying or when we're praising God and that sort of thing. Fasting can reinvigorate our passion for God. It can actually produce a personal revival. The third benefit of fasting is favor. So what that means is you can fast in expectation for favor for an upcoming event. A classic example of this is in the Old Testament in the book of Esther, where Esther was actually encouraged by her uncle Mordecai to approach the king to ask him to actually have the Jews saved from being destroyed. And she knew that if she approached the king, she would actually, without him asking, there was the potential that he would actually put her to death. And so the scripture says that she said to Mordecai, she said, go, and in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, go gather all the Jews who are present and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So what she's saying is, I'm about to do this thing. I need the favor of God. Chances are it's not going to succeed. So what I want you all to do is fast. Why? So that I can have favor in this thing that's coming up. One of the major things that I'm going to be fasting for right now is when we start our Chambers Flat campus. That right now I'm going to fast and pray, seed into that area, believing God that he will go ahead of us. Then when we start, we will have incredible favor. That's what fasting does. Some of you have some things coming up, and for some of you, this is actually what you're fasting for. You're actually fasting for favor for something that's actually coming up ahead of you, coming up in the future. I remember back in 2006, leading into our second year of Bible college, when we started at Planet Shakers College in Brisbane, which and leading into the second year of 2007, I really felt to go on a fast for the following year. So I went on a fast and I was just fasting and praying and believing for the next year's intake. And then there was a moment there where I felt God spoke to me and he said, it's done. He said, you're going to have 45 full-time first-year students, and he said, you're going to have 15 full-time second-year students. What he didn't tell me was that we would also have another 50 part-time students, which was awesome. And so I remember at the time thinking, okay, it just felt like we were fasting and praying, and it just felt like it's done. There's favor into 2007. And I remember on our first day, orientation day, and we had the first years and the second years there, I found out we had 46 first years and 14 second years. And I thought, oh, I got it wrong. I mean, it was the same money. It didn't matter. But I thought, oh, it's 45. I thought it was going to be 45 first years and 15 second years. Then we found out that one of the students who had enrolled for first year had already done a first year at another Bible college and was eligible to go straight into second year. So she went from first year to second year, and we had 45 first year and 15 second year. I believe that one of the reasons why that happened was because of the fast ahead of time, fasting for the favor that was to come. The next reward that can happen as a result of fasting is revelation. Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 to 3 says, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Then in verse 14, the angel Gabriel came and saw him, said, I, Gabriel, have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So Daniel was fasting, and then after a period of time, and actually in this it was actually 21 days, the angel Gabriel came to him and said, I've come here to show you what's to come in the future. What's the reward? What was the reward he experienced in this fast? It was actually revelation. It was revelation. God can give you revelation of things that can help you in the future. I told you that we went on a fast back in 2000, and it was a 40-day fast. Well, when I say we, Trish did part of it. She actually started on the fast, but I think she was only doing it to support me. And so I remember I came home one day, it was about a week into it, and she was sitting at the kitchen table, and she had a coffee plunger right here, and she had a box of Tim Tams right here. And she looked at me, and I sprung her. And I walked in, and I looked at it, and she goes, I was only doing it for you anyway. And so she just ate it, and I just left her. So when I say we did 40 days, it wasn't really we. And so, but one of the things that happened as a result of it was God started talking to me about leadership, how to be a leader. And I had no concept of that. When I used to read leadership books, and they didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it. But if I look back now, I can realize it was at that moment. And from that time on, I actually started getting a lot of revelation about what it meant to be a leader. More than just books that were read and more than just experience, it was actually revelation that was coming forth. And one of the reasons, I believe, was because of a result of that fast. When you fast, there's so many multiple blessings and multiple rewards that can be drawn into your world as a result of fasting. And the last reward as a result of fasting is actually breakthrough. It's actually breakthrough. That literally that you can be in a situation that's not shifting and it feels like nothing's happening. And even when you're praying, it's like nothing changes. But then you can fast and pray and it can just cause an incredible breakthrough. The scripture tells us in the books of in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, this story about Jesus' disciples. And Jesus' disciples were actually trying to cast a demon out of a boy, and they could not do it. And so Jesus turned up, and he cast the demon out of the boy straight away. And then the disciples came up to him later and said, how come we couldn't cast the demon out? Because they were used to casting demons out. And he said, and Jesus said, this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. What does that mean? There are some breakthroughs you can only get through prayer and fasting. That's why I believe that for some people who've never fasted before, buckle up. Because God's got some breakthroughs for you that you didn't access before, that you're actually going to access as a result of fasting. Fasting can supercharge our prayers. A classic example of this is in the book of Judges. And the story is found in Judges chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. And basically what had happened was that the children of Israel were actually at war with the tribe of Benjamin. And so they were seeking God about it. They didn't want to fight their brethren. And then God said to them, and then they were praying about it, and they felt the Lord say, go up and fight Benjamin. So they went and fought Benjamin and lost thousands of soldiers. Came back at the end of the day and said, Lord, did you really tell us to fight Benjamin? He said, yes, fight Benjamin. So they went and fought the tribe of Benjamin and they lost again. Have you ever had that happen? God's told you, he's made you a promise and you walk towards it and it's completely shut down. So the third time, so then the next time they actually came back, and the scripture says in verses 26 to 28, says, then all the children of Israel went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. Shall I go out again to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. The first 2 days, he said to them, go and fight. And they fought and lost. But before the third time, they fasted. And as an aside note, they gave offerings. And then God said to them, yes, go up against them, and this time you'll win. How did they access that promise that was made to them? It was through giving and it was through fasting. fasting can get you some breakthroughs that are made available in Christ that you can draw down into your world. A couple of years ago, before we became the pastors here, but I'd heard of the story about Emily Christian, and she'd been suffering with this condition, and she told it to me what it was. It was hypothyroidism. I don't know what it means, but it's real. And she was suffering with that condition. And she felt God call her to go on a 40-day water fast. Now, it's got to be God to do a 40-day water fast, have the grace of God on it. In fact, you can tell when God's got the, when you're called to do a fast, because when you start doing it, the grace of God is upon you. I remember last year, the night before the fast started, I remember thinking to myself, I'm telling everyone to fast. I have no desire to fast. I'm hungry. Me and Noah Falau and their families, on the last night, the last supper, you're supposed to be weaning off everything. Instead, we actually went to KFC and we had a bucket, and then we went over to Baskin Robbins and had some ice cream. And the next day we were starting our fast. I thought, I'm never going to do this. So I got up the next day and it was all good. And Emily did a 40-day fast. And at the end of that, she said God had completely healed her. It was available in Christ, but the breakthrough was drawn down through fasting. Jesus promises. He says, when you fast, he's talking to everyone, not just the 12. So we're all going to fast sometime in our life. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. God has breakthroughs and rewards for the people in our church. God has breakthroughs and rewards for our church corporately as well. You know, last year, as a result, after the 21 days of breakthrough, basically the trajectory, the financial trajectory of our church, which had been that way for a long, long time, that was going in a bad direction. God, and I thought it's going to take a few years for us to get things right financially in our church. After the 21 days of breakthrough, just clicked it. And now we're going like this. And for the 15 of you that came to the annual report on Thursday night, because everyone knows, I think we're good now, you will know that we're just moving forward. It happened after, for our church, after the 21 days of breakthrough. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Amen? God's got rewards for you. And so what I want to do tonight is I want you to write down on the cards at some point. If you want to think about it, you can. If you want to bring it to a prayer meeting sometime, you can. That's okay. But if you want to write down what you're believing for, you can do that. You don't have to put your name on it. But what I want to do is, and I didn't do this last year, it's a bit unusual, and for God told me to do it last week in the morning service, I want to actually pray and anoint with oil people in preparation for the fast that's to come. So a number of you weren't in the Reedy Creek morning service, some of you at Pimpama, some only come at night. But last week we anointed people, and the reason why, well, the scripture God gave me was the one where Jesus was at someone's house and Mary Magdalene came in. And the Bible said she was weeping, she was washing his feet with her tears, drying it with her hair. But she also brought a very expensive bottle of perfume and poured it on his head. And the people around there criticized her for doing that. And Jesus says, you don't know what she's done. She's actually anointed my body in preparation for my burial. And I felt God say to me, anoint the people in the church with oil in preparation for the 21 days of breakthrough. It's like a preparation anointing, getting ready for the next 3 weeks. And a number of you got prayed for last Sunday morning, and I understand that, but there's still some of you that haven't. And so tonight, we would like to bring you forward and pray for you. The rest of us, feel free to write down things on your cards. And then what we're going to do is we're going to start our first prayer meeting of 21 Days Breakthrough tonight. So we're going to pray for about 10, 15 minutes, and we're going to start set this thing in motion. Some of you before tonight hadn't even thought about it, wasn't sure what you're going to do. We want to come and come forward, and we want to pray for you. We want to anoint you with oil. God will speak to you about what you need to do. It's just between you and God. You can just, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he tells you to sacrifice, you just do what he tells you to do. But I believe if God calls you to do it, he'll enable the space to be made in your calendar. He'll make sure that things are set in motion, that you'll be able to fulfill what he's called you to do. Amen? So why don't you just stand to your feet, and worship team can come. And if you have not been prayed for yet, for the 20, anointed with oil, for the 21 days of breakthrough, then what I want you to do in just a moment, so Matt, Rob, Marianne, Sue, Trish, Noah, Sue, Marianne, yeah, come forward. And we've got some oil here. And as the team leads us in worship, I've got to encourage you to come out, just stand in front of one of these guys. They'll anoint you with oil and pray for you in preparation for the 21 days of breakthrough. And the rest of you, if you want to, you can fill those cards out. And then when we start...